lots of good singing all the way around. Sister Kirk and I, when's your next appointment? Friday. Coming up on Friday? Yep. And so don't forget to remember to pray for her as they travel back and forth over to that appointment there, and bless the Lord every day for the progress she's making. And so don't forget that right there. Take your Bible, if you will. Let me see if I can get this button turned on here. How about that? Is that it? If you take your Bible to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter number 38 tonight, we're going to be looking there in that chapter, Jeremiah 38. As you look there in about verse number 28, where we're going to be reading from, as we look there, verse 28. If you find the place you're able to stand, then do so while we look, Jeremiah 38, 28. So Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. Now, Father, bless your word to every heart. We do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. We thank you for the good songs of Zion that we've heard tonight and enjoyed together. We pray for those that are sick. May you restore their health. We pray you'd lift up the downhearted, set the captives free, save the sinner which lost without God. May you trouble them till they come to find peace with thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight whenever we look in this chapter here, this great prophet, this great man of God by the name of Jeremiah. Title of this sermon would be, in days gone by, Preaching Today, Prison Tomorrow. And let me tell you right now, that's the way that he was. They wanted to hear something that came from God. And let me say to you that, if you will, that here's a prophet of God that wept over the backslidden condition of his own nation. We've lost that in the day we live in. We're now so proud, you know, of the president, and I am too glad that God has given us a space. But what about this communist professed people that are being inducted into office? And you know, and here's the thing, that if you are so stupid that you would listen to Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren, I cannot believe that anybody would ever give her whatsoever any attention. But don't make no mistake about it, Bernie Sanders and people like that. Now, I will tell you, I believe we live in the land of the free, and I believe that we ought to have some freedom of speech. But when you've got people that are anti-God, that are anti-American, that are anti-everything good, right, moral, and decent, according to the Bible, they ought to be run out of town on a rail, tarred and feathered, if you will, please. How in the name of God can we expect anything to be have any kind of peace and have any kind of prosperity if we are going to condemn one thing and then sanctify people that are like these that I'm talking about tonight? Yeah, you know, I want to tell you what's going to end up happening is that America is so bogged down in whatever little progress that we're making, while they're going ahead, and then they're calling Guy Benson a queer. He's on our side. I guess we're on his side. See? Somehow or another, something's gone wrong in the field. Well, Israel had a whole lot of similar things in the day they lived in. I got to say that whenever you begin to look into this Bible lesson, and fact is, you know, it is free. It's free. You're free to be able to mess up if you want to. And, you know, you're free to be able to make the wrong decision in life. Somebody asked me one time, you don't let nobody in your church use nothing but an old King James Bible. No, but I teach them that that's the Word of God. And if you want to have something else, that's your privilege. We live in the United States of America. You can choose any perversion you want to. But one day when it comes back to bite you, and it will, and sooner or later it will, in the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that here's this old man of God, and you'll find out that he repeatedly got into trouble over preaching. And in fact, is you'll find that Babylon was trying to take over Jerusalem and trying to take over Judah and the land of Judah. And as a result of that, you're going to find out is that they were put in jail and locked up in jail. And they went to different jail sometime, but the message of God never did change. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at here tonight, you're going to find out that the message that they were listening to from old Jeremiah, it included bondage. It included breaking. It included down the walls, you know, the breaking down of the walls and the enemy allowed to come in. You'll find they were burning the city. I mean, when you begin to look at it, there's just a whole lot of things that we do in America that they got in trouble with the Lord over back in their day. I got to tell you, a nation that once was victorious and full of God and victory and so forth and all, now they're living defeated. You know, they were once, Israel could shout amen. These old prophets would stand up and preach, thus saith the Lord, and they could shout amen to it. Now you can't even get an unholy grin in the day we live in. In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find out that here's a man that went to prison, and I'm talking about he not just trying to make a name for himself. We're talking about a preacher and a prophet of God that really and truly went to jail. We're not talking about somebody crossed a picket line, got locked up, and claims that he got locked up for preaching when that was a lie spawned from hell. God bless you. If I know I'm right, I don't need a lot of amens. And see what I'm saying to you, that when you begin to look into the Bible, you'll find is that the prophet Jeremiah was such a man, but I guarantee you right now, he went to prison and they throwed him in jail. And you know what they were accusing him of? He's a troublemaker. He's trying to say things against the nation and against the city and against them. He's trying to name what God's going to be doing, and it's detrimental to everybody that's here. And they didn't like it because the message of God was one thing, and what they believed in practice was going to be another one. I want to say number one is when you begin to look into it, it was a difficult time. Hey, it's a difficult time that we're living in. You'll find Jeremiah had a life. He was a man that was a preacher. Here's a man that finally went to prison for preaching. They wanted to shut him up, and they thought, listen, if we can't shut him up any other way, we're going to lock him up. And so they did. And let me say to you that his life was in peril. It was in danger. And as a result of that, you're going to find out that here's a crowd that had lost their shout because of sin. And you know that'll happen if you let that go long enough. I mean, in the day and hour that we're living in, is that you ought to have the joy of the Lord as your strength. And you ought to be able to be thankful. And I'm not talking about whether you're making a lot of noise, a little noise, or any noise, but you ought to be glad that you're in the household of faith and that you can wave that bloodstained banner and proclaim the name about Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. In the lesson that we're looking at, it not only was difficult time, but you'll find that they learned that sin will finally suck the shout right out of you. I mean, it just will. You ever try to come backslidden and just go ahead and own a credit shout anyway? Just don't fit good, does it? And not only don't fit good with you and in your heart, it don't fit good for those that are around about that know you. When you look into the word of the Lord, and that's what we need tonight is a word from God. I want to tell you something. It was a difficult time that Jeremiah and these people lived in during that day. Second of all, you'll find they were defiant times that they lived in. People that rejected the word of the Lord, people that were full of rebellion that are in these pages, if you were to flip backwards or forward and just see a little bit and put it all together, is that you'll find they were defiant. They rejected what the thus saith the Lord had to say, and they refused to repent. You know, look in chapter 37, if you can, just for a moment. And I want you to watch and see if this is not Baptistic or not. All right, Jeremiah, chapter number 37, verse number 2. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord, which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. Now, here's some people, they didn't want the word of the Lord. They didn't want to hear it. They rebelled when they did hear it, and they rejected it and so forth and on. These are people that did not want to hear the preaching of the word of the Lord, according to chapter number 37 and verse number 2. Now, look in chapter 37, verse 3. Zedekiah the king, he sent Jehukol, the son of, I can't pronounce half of these, Shelemiah, Zephaniah the son of Maaseiah and the priest and the prophet Jeremiah saying, but watch this now. We've already established they didn't like preaching. Pray now unto the Lord our God for us. That's where we're at in America. They don't want any Bible preaching, I can tell you. And I don't talk about, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about any Bible preacher. They're not interested in any Bible preacher in the country that we're living in. Is that? But they want you to pray for them. That's why you can go up and down the road, you know, and they've got prayer is the answer. And pray for our nation and pray. And I'm for praying. But let me tell you right now, praying ain't going to get it done by itself. You better listen to the preaching of the word of the Lord. And as a result of it, they didn't want that. I want to say next of all that, if you will, is that in chapter number 37, and we'll not take time to read it, but they depended upon the world to give them help. They were looking for Egypt to help them with it. And let me say to you that, if you will, that the Bible said in chapter 37 and verse 7, Egypt's going to finally return to their own land. And as a result of that, you find they did. And God tells them and warns them in chapter 37 and verse number 9, don't deceive yourself. Egypt's not going to help you. You're not going to have any help that's going to come from the world. I'll tell you something, is that when you begin to look into it, is that you'll find, number three, this was dangerous times that they lived in. Now, you know, Zedekiah, he wanted to be able to know something from God. I'm talking about he really did. But he didn't want anybody to know that he needed to know something from God. And so what he did was he got Jeremiah secretly. You know, they had thrown him into the prison, sunk in the mire, wasn't any water in it. And finally somebody came and said, now, Zedekiah, I want to tell you, the prophet Jeremiah, he's not going to last long in there. He's going to starve to death, and nothing else, there's no bread in the city, and so forth. And oh, well, Zedekiah got 31 men together, and he said, I want you to go, or maybe it was 30 men. Anyhow, 30 men, yeah, verse 10, chapter 38. And he got 30 men, as a result, and said, go down there to that dungeon. I want you to take some old rags and clouts and rotted clout and put under his arm. I want you to pull him up and pull him out of there. And he did. And as a result of that, the mouthpiece of God was still at his disposal. And here's what he done was, he thought he'd do it in secret. Maybe nobody will see me talking to the prophet Jeremiah. And as a result of it, he goes to asking him, and he said in verse 16 of chapter 38, so Zedekiah the king swears secretly to Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord liveth that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, and neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life. I want to say to you that, if you will, that they wanted to know what God said, but Jeremiah, they kept throwing him into jail because of the fact that he was saying exactly what God had given him to say, and they were not happy with the message. They naturally couldn't lock up God, so they just locked up the man of God. It was a dangerous time that they lived in. I want you to notice in chapter number 38 and about verse number 4. Therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let us put him to death. That's how they felt about him. He said, for thus he weakened the hands of the men of war. I want to tell you, they wanted to be able to kill old Jeremiah, but as a result of it, Zedekiah, the king of Judah, was able to deliver him in to save him from being able to meet his maker, if you will. Now, I want you to notice that, if you will, please, is that back in that dungeon that he was in verse number 6 of chapter 38, no water, no bread, mire and mud and sink and stink. It was a nasty time, no doubt about that. But let me say to you that whenever God raised up Ebed-Melech, and as a result came and told the king, he's not going to make it if you don't do something to be able to work in his behalf. Last but not least, let me say to you two things. One of them is, it was deporting times when women and children were being sent into the land of Babylon and the Chaldean regime and rule that was over them. And let me say to you that when you begin to look into it, they were trying to ship them out, women, children, hauled them off to a strange country. As a result of that, you're going to find there were strange gods, there's strange garments, there was strange grooming. Boy, let me tell you, it was an awful time for women and children in that day and hour. Now, in the lesson that you're looking at, and you could go on and read some of it, But you'll find sometimes those women were raped, and sometimes you'll find they were misused and beaten and so forth and on. And as a result of that, they learned what it was like to be away from God. Now, here's what Jeremiah told them. Zedekiah said, I'm going to tell you something. Babylon's going to come take it over. Now, if you will submit to them, they'll carry you to another country and you'll be alive. But if you bow up against them, you're going to die right here in this land. And I can tell you right now, America's lost that. You're not going to bow up to God and come out a winner on the other side. You're not going to. And let me tell you, the closer the coming of the Lord, the fewer and the fewer people. Nevertheless, the Bible said, Jesus said, shall a man find faith on earth? We're living in a world that's become faithless. And as a result of it, all the world looks at us like we're crazy and stupid. You know, as after all these years, and some of you here, you're going to know what I'm going to say. I'm not a truant officer. You know, if you're not living the way you ought to be living, and I'm not bothering you about it, it's because that's now between you and God. You've heard it. You've heard it explained a lot down through the years. If you're not obeying it now, you're not going to. See? As a result of that, you're going to find out there were some people that Israel and Judah, they thought, you know, they're not going to. I mean, what they're going to be is they're going to be injured in the war. And he goes on and tells them it don't make any difference if they're hobbling through or whatever they're doing. If you don't submit to Babylon, that's by the hand of God judging you, you're going to die. And as a result of that, you're going to find out that it was a destructive time that they lived in. Last but not least, I want to say to you that if you will, please, in the lesson there in chapter number 38, and about verse 28 that we read for our text, when you get to chapter number 39, verse number 6 down through 7, the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah and Riblah before his eyes. How'd you like the last thing you saw, your sons being killed? Also, the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out the Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains and to carry him to Babylon. Now, that's a sad commentary, friend. There's a man that was a king. There's a man. The last thing he saw was the destruction and death of his own sons. You know, one of these days, not many moons down the road, if you're not coming to me, you're going to come to somebody about your sons and your daughters that'll be passing the point of no return. And it's not going to be a welcome sight when I say, been warning you about that for all these years. What did you think was going to happen? See? What did you think was going to take place? If you open up a can of worms, they're going to be crawling everywhere. And they're going to leave a trail where they're going. What did you think's going to happen? I got to tell you right now, is make no mistake about it, I'm glad that all of my kids are grown and nearly all of their kids are grown. Yeah. I kept praying and asking the Lord to help me and the wife. And we got it along this far. And now, listen, we got grown grandkids. I got to tell you, you better walk careful every step of the way. God is not, the Bible said what? God is not mocked. And make no mistake about it, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Better be careful about that. You may be sitting here thinking, you know, because I'm not. I mean, you can already tell that I'm having people take a colonoscopy, you know, for cracks in their spine. I've got Bernie's name changed to, what was it? Instead of Benny, Bernie. He got it changed to Bernie. I wonder if he's really named Bernie and he just changed it to Benny. I said all that just to be able to say that, if you will, please, is that in the day and hour that we're living in, what a sad commentary I'm talking about over this man that was a king of Judah. And the last thing he sees, how'd you like the last thing you see? Your children slain, your eyes put out, and that's it. You'll never see nothing else besides that. I can't tell you in all these 50 years of ministry that I've had people sit down, preacher, I want to talk to you a minute. Okay. And it was of their own doing. And let me tell you right now, is I have spent all these years, whenever somebody comes in, I look them over, and I'm talking about keep my eye upon them. I know you do too, and if you don't, you better. Yes, I don't know how many pedophiles have come and gone, but more than we can count. And I don't know how many folks up and down the road of life. Now, let me just say to you that, if you will, and make no mistake about it, and I don't want this to sound ugly, but I do mean it, and it is ugly. If you let your kids hang around with the wrong crowd, they're going to want to look like them, talk like them, act like them, go where they're going, do what they're doing, until that finally, like Absalom, had stole the hearts away from his father's kingdom, they'll steal their hearts away from you and your guidance. See? You got to be careful about that. Oh, it's easy whenever they're like Conley. It's very easy. You know, it's pretty easy when they're like, you know, the size of Andrew. It's pretty easy. But see, I already noticed is that some of you older ones, there's not as easy as it used to be. See what I'm talking about? Make no mistake about it. Sooner or later, if it's not in my lifetime, it will be in yours. We're going to see another world besides Trump's. And we're going to know we've gotten away from the Lord by miles and miles. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be saved to know him in the free pardon of sin. Are you saved tonight? Then live saved around your family. Not